Gun rights are often a subject of political argument. But doctors like Omar Danner see the physical effects of gun violence every day. He's a trauma surgeon at Grady Memorial Hospital and teaches at the Morehouse School of Medicine. In a recent study, he and his colleagues examined who is being admitted to the Atlanta Trauma Center with gun wounds. Dr. Danner joins me here in the studio. Dr. Danner, good morning. Good to have you on the program.
Good morning, Tony.
What did the data ultimately show you? What did you learn?
The major thing that we learned when it comes to gun violence, particularly in Georgia and Atlanta, that gun violence disproportionately affects particularly African-American males. In 2014, there were approximately 2,003 gunshot wounds. And when you look at the data, most of them are due to handguns, about 81%, which is about nine times more common than the next type of injury, such as stabbings. The other issue is that when you start looking at the demographics of people who are injured, those people who are 0 to 44 years of age, gun violence actually is the fifth leading cause of death nationally. But when you look at it locally, particularly in the high-risk population, we call that 15 to 34 age group, it's the most common cause of death for African-American males and the second leading cause of death among Hispanic males.
Wow. And you looked at it statewide and then you brought it down to Atlanta.
Yeah, we looking at it from a statewide perspective.
Yeah.
When you look at gun violence, most people think that when you get shot with a gun, it's mostly just homicides. Mm-hmm. Actually, suicides account for 60% of the injuries or deaths in Georgia, and 38% are homicides due to gun violence. But when you look at us compared to national levels, there's a 43% greater incidence or risk of homicide-related gun violence in Georgia compared to the rest of the United States.
Did that surprise you? I'm wondering what assumptions you had going in. What did you think you'd find when the data came in, and what did you actually find?
What I thought we would find, we thought we would mirror the nation, but when we start looking at this as a hospital system, what we found was that, one, there's an overrepresentation of particularly African Americans and particularly African American males. In fact, 91% of the victims were male, and there was about 80% African American, 6% Hispanic in the Atlanta area.
Did that really surprise you?
It is in that, you know, when we think about health disparities, there is an 8 to 9 times higher chance of being injured or killed by a gun if you're African-American male. When we look at diabetes, we look at cancer, we look at all the other health maladies, this represents maybe the greatest health disparity of all.
Mm-hmm. When you're having conversations with your colleagues, with your friends, what are you saying about this issue? What are you saying about this problem? What frustrates you?
I think the thing that frustrates me the most is when we're on trauma call inside of the hospital and we hear, you know, an underage victim is coming in to as basically a victim of a firearm-related injury. You could almost predict what the profile, who's going to show up. The storyline stays the same. And when you're there operating, you know, repairing, you know, whether it's a vascular injury or some injury to a solid organ, or just triaging them and consulting another service or discharging them, you know that this is something that's going to happen again and you're waiting in anticipation.
Wow. What's the storyline? I think that's a really interesting way of putting it. You have a sense of what the storyline is going to be before you even engage.
The storyline typically is that I was walking down the street, I had just gone to the store, I was sitting in the car, and somebody came by and shot me. And usually they don't know the assailant. When you get the secondary story from the investigators, then they're usually linked. Most of these aren't random. Most of them are very targeted. The perpetrators live within a certain radius of the individual that is injured. And you can almost predict the after story.
Okay, let's bring in George Lee. Let's make him a part of this conversation. George is the project manager for the End Gun Violence Step Forward Initiative. That's based in Savannah, and that's where George is with us this morning. George, good to have you on the program.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing?
It's terrific to have you on the show. How do you describe the work of your program? What's the mission?
The mission is simple, clear, and laser-focused, that we know that 0.5% of violent offenders commit at least 80% of the violent crimes within the city, you know, and our county area. So it's simply clear and distinct. Place your guns down. If you desire to leave out of the lifestyle of group slash gang violence, we have an opportunity and a way for you to escape. If not, then there's another side of suppression, you know, and prosecution. However, our side desires to bring prevention and intervention.
I want you to have a listen to a young man, Samaje Clark. He's a California teen who was shot and paralyzed in Savannah in 2015.
After I got shot, sitting in the hospital and watching how many people came in after me for either a robbery attempt or gun violence, it was just, I couldn't believe it.
George, how do you reach these young people? You offer them a couple of options. How do you reach them? What programs do you offer them?
I think it's very important. The DA's office here for Chatham County just received a wonderful grant of $660,000 that is called the Minority Youth Violence Prevention Grant. That is a joint effort by the Department of Health along with the Department of Justice. And they have decided and understand that this, as Dr. Dennis stated, is a public health issue. So through this Youth Intercept program, that we are targeting youth who have been exposed to crime violence within the inner city and within the neighborhoods, and giving them an opportunity to have consistent mentorship, consistent relationship, consistent self-esteem building. And by providing that sense of intervention and prevention, it is one step in the right direction.
And Samaje Clark is now an activist, I believe, in the Savannah area.
Yes, I know Samaje very well. He has an awesome and powerful testimony that this situation that garnered, you know, a couple of years ago has made him not a bitter young man, but a young man that has provided opportunities for other young people to see the seriousness of gun violence and provided ways out. And Samaje is very active within our community, and he's received and garnered much support. But we need more individuals building those relationships and building those bridges.
That was my next question.
We've got to have that this is a several-pronged approach, that there's not one particular panacea for this, that we have to use our energies, our emotions, and our passions to be consistent, and be consistent not when something tragic takes place,
but
be consistent. Go ahead.
And George, there are others, right, in that community who are working on this issue. I want to play some sound from Kim Dulick, who you probably know as well. She started a group.
Correct.
It's called the Savannah Peace Initiative. It works to put what she calls peace poles in the areas where people have been murdered.
Once we moved here, first thought fireworks were going off, and I thought, do they really celebrate that much in Savannah? Every night we're having fireworks. And one of the neighbors said, you know, those are gunshots. It is almost an every night occurrence, and I've even got some people that have reached out to me who suffer from PTSD because of the constant gunfire.
And Omar, you want to back in on this?
Yes. You know, one of the big things is that as a level one trauma center such as Grady, we have to be able to partner with the people in the community. There are a lot of organizations doing a lot of great things, but the thing that's lacking is a uniform organization against such issue that's really becoming a scourge of the earth. So being able to partner in organized fashion, bringing in the psychologists, the community activists, bringing in the government, the church, bringing in all the different aspects and people that's needed, because it is a community problem, and we are responsible.
So let's talk about the law enforcement aspect of this. I want to play a bit of sound from George, your police chief down there, Joseph Lumpkin, and he says that gun violence and gang violence together, that both aspects of this problem, that they just absolutely have to stop. So let's listen to the chief.
We have to hit them all over town. We also have to stop them where they are. If we don't stop them in their block, they will be in your block. So we have to have the resources to actually stop them.
George, take a moment here. We're running out of time. Describe the gang problem and the gun violence problem in general in Savannah for me.
In general, we are seeing an increasing amount of younger individuals that are involved in gang activity, group activity, particularly amongst our juveniles. That is a huge problem that, as Dr. Dana said, must be addressed by a multi-pronged agency approach. It is so important for, just as our end gun violence program with the chief of police, the district attorney's office, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the City of Savannah joined together along with our faith-based organizations and our civic organizations, our neighborhood association presidents, to expose them. First of all, we need to be taught. Our neighborhood associations need to be aware of what's going on within their neighborhoods. From an awareness, there also needs to be steps, plans of action as they are incorporated and in discussion. We must have also positive testimonies of individuals who have been brought out of this gang violence. We also must be able to share with their families in a holistic approach. Yeah. You're not just helping the individual. You have to help the mother, the father, the sisters, the brothers, the grandparents, because it is a holistic generational issue.
George Lee, George, appreciate it. Thank you for your time. And Dr. Danner, what a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you both.